Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm so excited to be here today. And just invite us to find a place where we can be in awareness to our bodies. It feels good on your cushion just to notice the weight of yourself being held. And we're just going to enjoy this time together today. I'll tell you a little bit about my path. I come through the door of suffering, which is part of my bio. But it's important to know that, I come through the doorway of joy as well. I did burn out of a nonprofit job in Chicago that was very fulfilling, very rewarding work. You might be familiar with that type of work, but I overextended and it got very difficult. I was so successful that I was on Oprah. That's how great the program was. And inside, I was a mess. And it started to show up in all different kinds of ways. And I was going to my mom, who had taught me to meditate at a very young age. She was raised Irish Catholic, but she had been a practitioner of Dharma and Buddhism for years. And so I was young, 5 or 6, when we first started sitting in parks and her telling me to watch my breath. And I turned to her and said, "Look, mom, I'm so successful." And she was like, "Well, what about inside? Because I get the sense that you're not aligned." And then she was right, because the internal conflicts and suffering did overcome. So I needed to leave Chicago, is how bad the burnout was. And I landed at Spirit Rock at the POC retreat. And in that retreat, my heart broke open in a way that I had never experienced and honestly wasn't ready for. The suffering became so immense when I was silent, when I had to settle and just had my thoughts. The first couple of days, if you've had this experience on retreat, your common thoughts arise. And then the longer you sit, you've thought about a lot of the things you usually do, and your internal things that you may have stuffed away start to arise. And mine were very painful. Mine were trigger warning on abuse here. My thoughts that were arising were of the physical abuse I received as a child. And my heart just broke open and I broke my silence. And I went to the retreat managers because I said, "I can't hold this. If I touch this suffering, it will overwhelm me. And I'm afraid and I'm scared. So please help me." And then they sent in Gina Sharp, one of these amazing teachers from the East Coast. She's this big, and I'm a big guy. And she came in and she just kind of like put her arms around me and never knew me a day in my life. And my heart was so broken that she held space. And over the next couple of days, Gina and Larry Yang offered me practices that changed my life. They allowed me to hold the suffering in a different way. I needed to go to therapy and work through things, but just the Dharma and eventually Sangha really helped me to touch into the healing that I needed for my life. And so I was, why doesn't everybody have these tools? And soon after, I started going to EBMC and I built community there. And I'm a commitment to making the Dharma more accessible, both to hold suffering and joy. And so that's how I ended up on the teaching track. And so today I hope to share with you some thoughts and reflections, mostly about upekkha, mostly about equanimity. I've got some thoughts and I've got some friends here with me who also have thoughts. We'll start with a stationary practice for about 25 minutes. And then I'll offer some thoughts and reflections on, the experience of BIPOC, especially around in Juneteenth and in Pride Month as well. So just I'll offer some thoughts about the training and teachings. And then we'll do a little practice. A practice that's been important to me is the Vedanas. So it's this practice of kind of reflecting and noticing the feeling tone of our thoughts. And I'll say more about that. And then we'll close with some space for questions or reflections. I love to hear other people's perspectives on the content that I've shared. So we'll end that way. So let's get into the practice. Are there any access needs, anything we can do to help people show up more fully today? You can drop it in the chat or chat Emiko. All right, well, I'm going to ask us to find the posture again that feels comfortable and yet still alert. If it feels good to you to have a nice deep breath in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Yes, just allowing ourselves to arrive. As we turn our attention inward, the opportunity just to notice if there's any tension or pressure. You might do a light scan through the body just to bring awareness to our posture and if there's anything we need to listen to. Having another breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Just quickly noticing if there's any tension you can release in your forehead and temples. Scanning down through the neck and the shoulders. It feels good to roll your shoulders or neck. And just noticing your arms and forearms. Putting your attention at the placement of your hands. It feels good to wiggle or squish your fingers. Again, we're just bringing our attention internally. And noticing your chest and your belly. If there's any tightness in your hips or your glutes or these big muscles in your quads. Just with every exhalation, seeing if relaxation in the calves down into your feet. It feels good to squish your toes or put a little pressure on the bottom of your feet to really feel yourself being held by the floor. So this will be a mostly silent practice. I may chime in a couple times just to invite minds from wandering thoughts. That's what our minds do. And so I'll start with inviting the bell once, and I'll close with three invitations from the bell. And if it's helpful, I ask you to find an anchor for your attention. You may choose the breath and notice the rising and falling of your belly or chest, or you may choose that point at the nostrils where you can feel the air. But I'll invite us to sit for about 25 minutes. And we'll start with just a single point of attention. Just taking a moment to notice if your attention has wandered. If the thoughts are very active, my invitation is to find the anchor that can hold your attention for the next few minutes. You may choose your breath or a bodily sensation. But if it's helpful, find a place to anchor your attention and allow the thoughts to pass. Noticing again if your attention has wandered. And just gently bring your attention back to your anchor. Mind will form all types of thoughts, and you can notice them without being carried away by them. You might think of them as clouds floating across the sky. And notice them and watch them pass. You might think of them as leaves floating down a river. Notice its path and acknowledge it, and then let it go, let it flow. And continue the silent meditation for the next few minutes. And in our last few minutes of practice, I invite you to share in this metta practice with me. We'll be offering these loving kindness prayers. I'll offer them aloud. You can repeat them silently or to yourself. And we'll begin with offering metta to ourselves. Pulling an image to your mind's eye, and noticing what you might look like laughing. Familiar ways that you see yourselves in your mind's eye. Just hold that there and offer ourselves this loving kindness. May I feel joy and live with ease. May I feel safe. May I feel healthy in my body and mind. May I feel strong and protected from inner and outer harms. And may I be free. We'll offer these same prayers again. I'm going to ask us just to call into our mind's eye the collective energy of all Black and Indigenous folks celebrating Juneteenth in all the ways and all the places. We'll offer this loving kindness to them using the same phrases as you have them in your mind's eye. May they all experience joy and live with ease. May all these beings feel safe and healthy in their spirit and in their body and minds. May all these beings be protected and feel strong. May all these beings be free. One last round. We'll now offer this metta blessing and prayer to all beings in all directions, none exempt. You can imagine holding the consciousness of all the beings in your heart and your mind. We'll offer these same prayers. May all beings feel joy and live with ease. May all beings feel healthy and feel safe. May all beings experience protection and feel safe. May all beings in every direction, without exception, be free. Thank you so much for your practice. Really is wonderful to be here. I consider Spirit Rock one of my spiritual homes. And just a little side note, Emiko and I know each other from way back. And so it's just wonderful to be with new friends and old. I want to share a few thoughts today about the wild times we're experiencing. You know, I came to the practice and have experienced so much. I don't want to say it's like relief from suffering, because that's not all the way correct. It's not that I don't feel suffering. It's just that I have such a depth of capacity now that it was not present before. And I'm so grateful for it. I wonder, in your own practice, you know, are there places where you feel maybe some spaciousness that maybe wasn't there before you practiced? Or are there places where you feel alignment, or maybe even restored, or have stronger resilience? The question I teach is, why do you practice? Right, so the practice, like, why do you practice? What does it bring us? And in most cases, I find people want to relieve and subdue some of the suffering. And so our practices are meant to find ways to do this. You know, this concentration practice of mindful awareness of the body or of the breath or of thoughts, these all are invitations to navigate the external forces as they come in. How can we buoy ourselves? And so today I want to focus on the teachings around equanimity. Right? There are, you know, four. Oh, okay, I'll do that. There are four, you know, Brahma Viharas, or places that we seek refuge, you know, that we're really familiar, that weave in together. There's this practice of mudita, or spontaneous sympathetic joy. It's like this practice of wholesome experiencing the pleasantness around having joy for yourself and others. And that's woven together with this practice of metta, as we just, you know, offering loving kindness allows us to be present. Karuna, or compassion practice, to be able to, in depthful ways, really appreciate and learn from other people's experience, this compassion practice we can be in. And then the fourth is the supekka in Pali, which is the equanimity. And may we be buoyed. May we be buoyed in a way that allows us to not be swept by the joys or the sorrows. I think sometimes people misunderstand the invitation, and they think that it means that, oh, we just always want to be kind of calm or in the middle. And it's not that we don't experience joy or suffering. It's just, what would it mean to create space for us to really land and not be caught in the extremes? Oftentimes the joy that we experience is so joyful, and it's so, the texture of it is so good that we want to attach. And we know that there are challenges with attaching to the joy, because it won't sustain. Similarly, if you have the experience of deep loss, as I have, or of suffering in other ways that feels so overwhelming, right, that we allow ourselves to think, oh, it's always going to be like this. And, you know, there's a way in which we can create conditions that we get swept away with the grief. And even though that too will pass, we sometimes attach to the grief that way. And so this practice of equanimity is meant to steady us. If you're able to reduce your suffering by practicing deep equanimity, I often think about, what does it mean to have freedom? You know, the first noble truth is that there is, you know, suffering exists for all beings, right? The second is that there's a cause of the suffering, as I pointed to, the attachment to joy or the attachment to suffering. It causes a lot of suffering. Then the third is that there's an end to the suffering. And then I think about today and this Juneteenth holiday is like, what does freedom really mean to the suffering? How do I experience it? One of my thoughts, if you've had the moments of feeling really seen, if you've been seen, if you've been in a condition where you just felt very connected and in the flow, sometimes is how people refer to it. Think about it as like a gentle and kind, understandable. And then those moments, I've had them sometimes, you know, with loved ones, make sense. And those moments, I experience freedom. And then in the next moment, something will distract. So what does it mean to find and sustain freedom? What if the freedom are these moments? And the best we can do is try to connect them closely together. How do I have more of these moments? And how do I connect them together? Wanting to just bring a few other voices around kind of the ways our practice of equanimity can be present. And I started with the Khalil Gibran, just a few thoughts, particularly around how our self-knowledge, right? Be a lantern unto yourself, the Buddha said, and how our self-experience really drives our practice and our life. It says, speak to us of self-knowledge. And he answered, saying, your hearts know in silence the secrets of the days and nights, but your ears thirst for the sound of your heart's knowledge. Would you know in words that which you have always known in thought? Would you touch with your fingers the naked body of your dreams? And it is well you should. The hidden wellspring of your soul must rise, run murmuring into the sea, and the treasure of your infinite depths will be revealed to your eyes. But let there be no scales to weigh your unknown treasure, and seek not the depth of your knowledge with suffering or sounding alike. For self is a sea of boundless measurement. I love this. For me, it points to this experience, like let yourself be the key. Let your heart and your mind align. And in our practice of equanimity, not to be swayed, it is a balance of heart and mind. My next offering is from The Heart of the Buddha's Teachings, the Thich Nhat Hanh book that people probably know very well. This is my mother's copy. And in the two truths, Thich Nhat Hanh speaks about the relative truth and the ultimate truth in a way that it requires a dance. And I think of that similar to the dance of equanimity, that is, it is true that we experience the relative reality of our identities as people of color in this world, and there's a truth that there's an interconnectedness and that all things are above. And so how do we move between the two? Because that is our practice of equanimity. Great. And so there's a poem that Thich Nhat Hanh quotes here. It says, people talk endlessly about their suffering and their joy. But what is there to suffer or be joyful about? Joy from sensual pleasures always leads to pain, and suffering while practicing the way always brings joy. Whenever there is joy, there is suffering. If you want to have no suffering, you must accept no joy. You know, Thich Nhat Hanh is a teacher for many of us, and I just find that they offer these moments of clarity. This 10,000 joys and sorrows are two sides of the same coin. You must be in relation with the joy as you are with the suffering. And when things are tough, you lean into the joy. So as you experience great joy, enter the practice of questioning, like, oh, like, can I be with this and not be consumed and holding tight to this joy? Just as in the sorrow and in suffering, while holding that pain, can you invite yourself to reflect and trouble doesn't last always. This will not always sustain. Can I remember there's joy too? And this is the practice of equanimity. This is Black and Buddhist, which is a wonderful text that I pull from often. The reading I'm going to pull from is Lama Rad, who's speaking directly about instructions for practice. Yeah. Previous to this, he's inviting us to put a hand on our chest and be aware of our bodies in a particular way. And I'll read this short passage. As you're connecting to your body, I want you to ask yourself a question. What do I need right now? As you ask the question, see what arises. I'll challenge you to ask this question and not actually answer it, at least not with your mind. Allow your body, your spirit to answer the question. Allow the spirit to arise and allow the body to answer and notice. Just be with whatever comes and try not to sit there and think, oh, this is what I need. As you're listening to what's coming and what's being offered to you, imagine being able to visualize in front of you in any way you choose, the spirit, a being, or anything, there's a source of compassion and love for you. So this points to another practice that it isn't always in our mind that we experience this equanimity. The body is full of tools and sensations. And if we are still and learn to listen, there's great information for us available. And so as you're contemplating equanimity and this practice of can I be a little more buoyed? Can I not get swept away as much? Use your body. Listen to your body as an indicator. I'm going to offer one last reading, and then I'm going to take us into a practice, and then we'll go into Q&A. This is from a wonderful teacher, Sebene Salonese. She teaches all the time. Oh, God, this book. It's called You Belong. Treat yourself. Just treat yourself. Get the book. It's great. She's a wonderful teacher who is very prescriptive. She has a lot of instructions in the book, and I've really enjoyed it. But I want to read from a section that talks about she talks about it as kind of like a funny, like the trap of meditation and how people will tell you, oh, you're a Buddhist. Oh, you're practicing. Oh, Patrick, you read the Dharma. Like you must be so Zen is what they say. But what they mean is like, oh, you must be so calm. You know, the worst thing that ever happened in my life was the passing of my mother. And I was in such deep suffering and turmoil for so long. And people would say to me like, oh, I'm so glad you have your practice. You must be feeling much better now. As if the practice is some odd way to circumvent suffering. And people really misunderstand. The practice invites us to sit and be present with the hardest times of our life. And also to be present with the extreme joys in our life. And so I love how skillfully Sebene puts together this experience that I've had. So she says, if you've ever tried mindfulness meditation, the instructions are not complicated. Be with your present moment and experience without joy or needing to grasp or reject anything, without judging and without noticing too much to what's happening. If you've meditated before, you know how impossible this can feel. Perhaps you can relate to this. So as long as you begin meditation practice, be convinced that it is not an instant failure. You don't believe you have capacity to concentrate. You are too easily distracted. It seems to be getting worse. You have a hard time reading the entire book, and you've tried to start a practice over and over again with frustration. Why is it that you seem to feel the sense of peace and calm? Why do you not feel the sense of peace or calm that's supposed to arrive? What is the goal? Why am I doing this? Wait, are you allowed to call it a goal? Welcome to meditation. It's so playful. I just love it because it speaks to the ridiculousness of some of the expectations projected onto us as practitioners and also maybe from our own selves. You know, the practice is to deal with that frustration. The practice is to ground and yes, be equanimous. And yes, like notice the ways in which our thoughts will carry us into very deep feelings and emotions. And I offer you this practice to bring more peace. The more equanimous, the more equanimity you're able to build, and it is a skill to build, there can be less suffering overall. So I'm going to invite us into a practice that's known as exploring the Vedanas. And Vedana refers to the feeling tone of a thought or an experience. And so the practice is simple that we're going to be quiet. And as thoughts arise, I'm going to invite you just to label the thoughts. You know, I'm going to give us a prompt. And then as thoughts arise, I want you just to notice the thought And you can label it. Is this thought pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Or perhaps it's neutral. And the practice is meant to generate a little bit of distance, like noticing that a thought is not everything. The thought can be labeled pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, and therefore is not our extreme experience. So one example I'll give, just as the way this practice is, you know, during the summer of 2019, I was experiencing a lot of suffering. There was a lot of loss. A lot of Black people were being murdered by police, and it was more than I could handle. And I found myself unable to really get to the everyday tasks of going to work and participating. I felt so vulnerable, and I was deep in my practice. But I also used this practice of the Vedanas. I was sitting there one day noticing, as I was thinking about Eric Gardner and Philando Castile and even, you know, Oscar Grant. I was going through names. There's so many. And I was using this practice, noticing the unpleasant, oh, I feel unsafe, unpleasant, oh, I just, I'm worried for myself and for my Black brethren and sisters. And while I was in that practice, I started to notice, oh, there arose one small piece that I was pleasant. I was like, oh, I feel connected to other Black people. Pleasant. And it was the first pleasant I had experienced in days. And then I sat with more thoughts and reflections, and I started to notice more pleasant, so that it wasn't a monolith. It wasn't just unpleasant. I wasn't just suffering. And so this Vedana practice allowed me to notice that even in suffering, there are moments of joy, and that's okay. You can welcome them. It's not spiritual circumvention to notice joy while experiencing suffering. And so I'll invite us into this practice if you want to find a posture that feels comfortable, also alert. It feels good to lower your gaze. Just see if you can find a place that feels grounded. You can work with some arising thoughts. So have a nice deep breath in and out. Then just for the next 2 minutes or so, allow your thoughts to arise and be with them long enough to notice if there's a feeling tone to them. You might notice that something feels pleasant. You might notice that the feeling is unpleasant or that it doesn't have either and it's neutral. So we'll do this just for 2 minutes. I'm going to ring the bell to begin to close. Just sit for 2 minutes and notice the feeling tone of your thoughts. Wonderful. And just taking a moment to notice the feeling tone of our thoughts. I invite you to turn your attention towards a difficult experience. You know, in this space, we don't want to turn to the most difficult experience. So just as a practice, find something in the last few days or last week that has made you uncomfortable. Maybe a dissatisfying conversation with a colleague. Maybe a difficult engagement with a loved one. Maybe disappointing news. But just comb through your last week or so and identify an experience that was a little difficult. When you think that you found one, I invite you just to kind of hold that in your mind's eye, in your attention. You might think of, you know, who's around for this experience. You may start to wonder about the causes and conditions that created this situation. And again, I want to remind us to self-monitor for how difficult this is. Please don't choose something that is, it will activate you too far where you can't take care of yourself. But we'll just spend another 2 minutes. Just notice what arises. If in the contemplation and the, you know, trying to re-experience part of this difficult situation, allow the thoughts to be labeled as pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Just notice if there's any shifts. We'll do this for 2 minutes. Finding a place to pause this practice. And we'll move into just one more Vedana practice. I'm going to invite you to find an experience that is pleasant in your recent memory. Maybe a pleasant experience over a meal with a friend or a loved one. Maybe good news that you've received. Maybe really pouring and investing into yourself in a way that felt particularly good. Just comb through your last week or so and find an experience that was pleasant and that you say was brought you joy. As you hold this experience in your mind's eye, just remember the energy of it, the details, who was there. What did you smell? Who did you communicate with? And from there, we're going to sit with our practice of noticing the feeling tones of the thoughts that arise while we're holding that energy. So we'll do that for 2 minutes. Just notice the feeling tone of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, as you think about the creation and conditions of that experience. And as we find a place to pause this practice, I invite you to bring your full attention back into the Zoom room. Just a few more words about the practice of equanimity, and then I'd love to hear thoughts. Amiko can unmute folks so they can share either questions or reflections about equanimity. Other thoughts and perspectives are really helpful for us all, and or any questions. So this practice, there are many ways in a Vipassana and Theravada traditions to build equanimity. But most of them involve starting with a mindful awareness practice so that you can move your awareness from one place to another. And so even the simple meditation we did this morning is really the foundation of building more equanimity. Creating the conditions of wholesomeness that allow us to tap into the refuges of the heart and of metta and mudita and equanimity and karuna. Like, we are constantly building our practice and building our muscle. And so I want to just like acknowledge that it is a slow but wonderful place to practice and put your attention. My intention was to offer something that would inspire a thought or an experience that may support you in your practice. If I did not do that well, then I want to extend my apologies and ask for your forgiveness. It's so wonderful to be in Sangha with each other and understanding all of the joy that's possible through this Juneteenth celebration and all of the happiness, laughter, music, culture, food, and smiles that are happening in the world. Across the diaspora, let us acknowledge the joy and the fun. We know that there is suffering and there is also joy. And may our practice today strengthen our equanimity to the benefit of all beings in all directions without exception. Thank you so much for your practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.